Welcome back to Housewarming, your inside look at real Irish homes transforming for a greener energy future. I'm Kim Buckley, and this week we have more from building engineer and energy upgrade fountain of knowledge, Kieran McCarthy. He's back to talk us through how to get the best bang for your buck on energy upgrades, as well as giving us his thoughts on the future of sustainable living and what the home of the future will look like. We'll also be chatting to homeowner Deirdre De Burka, who took on a big renovation project to upgrade her mother's former house in Cabinteely, transforming it into a warm, comfy and energy efficient home. First though, let's go over to Kieran. If someone is starting from scratch, Kieran, with an older home, and maybe they don't have a huge budget, I suppose, to do the one-stop shop and to do the full energy upgrade, what would be your priority for those people?
I suppose it depends on the house. Like the solar photovoltaic is great because you don't actually have to go next to near the house to fit it on the roof. And that gives them an amount of electricity every year. It's a nice bite-sized chunk. If the house was a bit more modern, like built in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and it had, or even beyond, and it had the cavity walls, like, so you have a block outer leaf cavity and block inner leaf, pumping the cavity is fantastic. Pumping the attic is fantastic. That's quite low-hanging fruit without... There are significant expenses, but they're not phenomenal expenses. Of course, there's grants for the insulation. So well worth looking at those. Again, it would kind of depend on the house and depend on the budget. But if you can pump the cavities and pump the attic, that's a great start. You know,
because I know a lot of people think that their windows and doors are the main culprit of a cold home. But a lot of the time, a bit of attic insulation will make a huge difference, and a great place to start there.
Yeah, the windows and doors, they, like I spoke to BER assessors about this, and an interesting point is like what the BER assessor said to me is like, you don't always have to get fixated with the windows and doors, because if you look at the square area of windows and doors compared to the square area of all your masonry, it's a small fraction. It could be 15, 20%. And you've another 80% that you need to deal with, which is your masonry. So important, yes, but not always the lowest hanging fruit. And like if you have an older set of PVC windows and doors and they're a bit drafty, you can get them serviced as well. You know, there are people who go around and they will get them to close properly. They will service the hinges and hinging gear and that kind of thing. So you, like depending on your budget, maybe just servicing them, getting rid of all the unnecessary draft.
I have a broken window at home. I'm going to do that because it's kind of stuck open and I can't, it's grand during the summer, but I can't close it during the winter. So yes, I will be doing just that. And what, Kieran, do you think gives the biggest bang for your buck in terms of making your home a bit more energy efficient? I suppose like the way you were talking about low hanging fruit.
I suppose the easiest one, and it'll work in most houses, is just pump the attic. I mean, as you mentioned earlier, heat rises. If it's like, I remember I grew up in Middleton in the 80s, and coming towards Christmas, you're going up to the attic to get decorations from the attic, and the attic was always roasting. Sure, that was because there was no insulation between the first floor and the attic. There was no insulation in the attic worth talking about. So all the heat we were getting in the house was going straight up and heating the attic. That's why pipes never burst back in the old days. Nowadays, you put 300 or 400 millimeters, which is kind of a foot of quilt insulation in your attic. Now, that's going to make your attic cold. It's going to keep your first floor warm, but your attic can now freeze in the winter. So you'll have to lag your pipes. So put a layer of insulation. Your plumber can do it, or a handyman can do it, or you can do it yourself. And you can buy the insulation lagging that goes onto kind of tubes of insulation that goes onto your pipes. And you have to insulate your tanks and what have you in the attic, because they will otherwise freeze in the depths of winter. But you're getting insulation straight away where you need it most, which is at the very top. It's keeping the heat into your first floor and beyond. So that is, and it's not a phenomenal outlay. And of course, there is grants for the single measures. So that for me would be the first thing to do. And just look at any drafts that are coming out your walls. If there's gaps in your masonry, gaps around pipes, we spoke about the window isn't closing properly and that kind of thing, a draft underneath a door and that kind of thing. So all those things make a big difference, and they are low hanging fruit without a massive investment. And something that can be done by yourself or a handy person or whatever, you know.
So that would be great advice for, you know, cash strapped new homeowners. They've just spent basically their life savings on a home that needs to be renovated, but they're going to live there for a few years and save up. So what you're saying is something great that they could do would be to insulate the attic, get quilting, put it up there, and that would be a really good stopgap while they're saving up to do the big retrofit. And what are the other sort of overlooked areas, say, in that type of home where there might be heat escaping? And those homeowners who are saving up for their full home energy upgrade, what can they do in the meantime apart from insulating the attic?
Just look for those leaks out through the walls. I mean, if you're not insulating the walls straight away, if you're not doing air tightness straight away, you are going to get leaks in around, like your utility room. There could be several pipes coming out through the walls, utility room, drainage pipes and water pipes and that kind of thing. Similarly, in around your kitchen press underneath the kitchen sink, if you look down there, you'll probably find gaps in the masonry in an old house where a pipe is just shoved through a wall, and that you might be able to stick your finger through the wall as well next to it. And sure, between rodents coming in and insects and heat going out, you could find there's warm air flying out there. All your toilet areas, your WCs, check those for anywhere where you're going to have pipes coming in and coming out. You'll probably find there's gaps there that can easily be filled.
And filled with what,
expanding
Kieran?
Foam.
Oh, expanding foam. I was just about to ask,
expanding foam. If you be careful with it, no. I mean, I'd be probably getting someone who's used it before. But I mean, like, we're talking a couple of hours work for a handyman here, handy person. You might have hair, you might have cracks in the masonry in an old stone house or something, or gaps and that kind of thing. So, no, don't block up old vents, because old vents are probably designed in for a reason, are probably crucial to the house. But cracks which weren't designed in certainly worked, kind of even a bit of sand cement. So you get a bag of cement and a bag of sand in a builder's merchant, they just mix it up with a bit of water. That's sand cement. And a trowel, and off we go and fill those, or polyfill if you have to on the inside.
Because
that makes a big difference, you know.
Yeah, and a lot of old homes have, you know, very cold extensions, and they might have been built, say, in the 90s quite quickly. And someone might want to knock that down and build an extension in 5-6 years' time. So that's great advice, that they could just go out with some expandable foam or some cement and fill up those holes, as you said, pipes going out and vents and stuff. Well, not vents, but pipes going out. Because I know in my bathroom, I can see it now, there's just a massive hole in the wall for the toilet pipe to go out. So I will be getting myself some expanding foam. I won't be doing
just
it myself. I will be getting someone a bit more experienced than me. But yeah, that's brilliant advice. Jesus, I'm learning so much here, Kieran. what role does collaborating with the architect and the engineers and the builders, is that vital when it comes to carrying out these types of works?
Yeah, okay. Again, no, this depends on the project. So if you are putting a few hundred thousand, which is a huge amount of money, into a building project where, yes, you're going deep retrofitting the house, but you're also building on extensions to kind of create your open plan space and maybe add some space for bedrooms or that kind of thing. You're going, like, the best way to do that is, and I'm not necessarily saying it's the cheapest way, but the best way to use everyone to their strengths is use an architect to design the space, and an architect to get your planning permission. You'll need an engineer to design any steel beams and the structure and foundations and any floor joists and all that side of things, and complying with building regulations primarily, and doing the construction drawings and all that side of things, and certifying for your bank. And you'll need a BER assessor to check to make sure everything complies with the BER, with your target BER. Rating at the end of the project. You might do a provisional BER at the start to make sure the project as you've designed it will comply, and you will get your B2 or B1 or an A2 or whatever you're going for. And then you do your BER assessment at the end. you will also be liaising with SAEI. If you're doing a deep retrofit through a one-stop shop company who will tee up all the grant for you and help you with the grant process, and they could also be involved in bringing the contractor team together for you, albeit you could bring your own contractor team if you have a team already doing the rest of the building work. Maybe they're SEI registered, maybe you're getting the grant in through those. But that's kind of how the process is generally put together. You might have other builders like tilers and people putting down timber floors and all that side of things as well, you know.
But the communication between each of those people is vital, and they're going to be talking to each other throughout the process.
Yeah, no, that communications person could be anyone. It shouldn't be anyone, but it could end up being anyone. It could be a version of the architect. The architect might take on that role. Sometimes an engineer will take on that role. Sometimes in the absence of that, you might be taking on an amount of that yourself. If you're doing just a deep retrofit, it's a combination of you and maybe the foreman from the deep retrofit company. In a very big, complex project where you have an architect, engineer, QS, builders, SAI, one-stop shops, it'd be someone like me who would liaise with everyone as a project manager. But that typically, on a smaller, simpler project, that might fall back to the homeowner in conjunction with the one-stop shop company, depending on what way it was set up and all that, I think, day one.
Yeah. Okay. So you could end up being a project manager in your own home with your hard hat on.
You'd be surprised how often that happens.
I know, so. Yeah. I've been there, actually. And Kieran, it's quite overwhelming getting all of this work done. And I suppose if you're doing a renovation and a home energy upgrade, there's all these gadgets out there. You know, there's the latest technology, there's heat pumps. How do you avoid getting dazzled by all of the latest technologies and just working for something that suits you, your home and your lifestyle?
Well, I guess in that instance, you are, if you're just doing a deep retrofit, you are talking to a one-stop shop company, a reputable one-stop shop company. They're SAEI accredited, and they can give you different costings on different elements, whether you want to go for solar voltaic, whether you want to go for batteries, are you heat pump versus air-to-water versus geothermal. They can advise you of the different efficiencies and payback times and the upfront cost of those different insulation types and different options there. So you're relying on the strength of a one-stop shop company, I guess, in that instance, unless you're bringing on a full engineering team to do all that as well on a bigger project. But the one-stop shop companies have a direct link and are SAEI accredited, which is the governmental board looking after all that side of things. You know,
obviously, you know, this is where the housing market is going, and in our housing stock, we are retrofitting as opposed to, you know, building new and using what we have. Obviously, new homes need to be built as well alongside this. Where do you think all of this is going, Kieran? And what is the future of home energy upgrades now in Ireland? And what's getting you really excited about this this sort of field and sustainable energy area?
I think the overall package works well now when you think of, like, when you've got, if you go for a full deep retrofit and you get solar and everything, you've got solar photovoltaic, which is creating electricity, your heat pump, be it a geothermal or an air to water, the only input there is electricity. So you're almost off the grid in many of these cases. And if you have an electric car, then you're also using electricity again, which is potentially generated by your photovoltaic. Now, you'll never cover everything unless you go for a phenomenally big array of solar panels to cover all that load. But I think everything is heading electrically. I think certainly a large amount of cars are heading that way slowly but surely. So everything heading electrically and actually generating electricity by solar voltaic, I think that's great because you don't have any fossil fuels. So it's great to see that happening, albeit you're going to be using more electricity than you're generating. Eventually, with efficiencies, more efficient cars, more efficient heating systems, and photovoltaic systems that generate more electricity and more efficient at doing it, you'll close all that gap, and eventually you could be completely off the grid, which is the ideal scenario. But it's great to see that we finally have momentum here, because we've been talking about this for years, and it was happening slowly but surely, but now it's at full tilt. Again, it was one positive outcome of all the wars we had recently and the energy spikes, you know.
Okay, so in your opinion, what does the home of the future look like, inside and out?
Well, I suppose you will have the open plan space, or some version of it. So you will have, when you're designing a house, the best way to design a house is from the inside out, not the outside in. In the olden days, people designed, if you look at an old Georgian house, it's one big square. And then you have to go in and wonder where the kitchen is, and where's the stairs, and where's the living room and all that. And it's just facing the road. So you might be facing north at the back, depending on where the road is. So you will have a house designed from the inside out. You'll the house will always be the right temperature when you arrive in. Any fluctuations in temperature between the winter and the summer will be dealt with through the kind of climatic control readers they have on the outside for air-to-water and geothermal systems. So you're reading reading weather changes, you know, 6 hours in advance, so you're priming the system accordingly. So the temperature was all the temperature was always the temperature, the ambient temperature inside, you know, 18, 19, 20 degrees. You've great air quality, and you have a very efficient house in that you're not losing the warm air that you've generated. So we're not a million miles off that, no. But it is very expensive. I mean, it is very expensive to get all, you know, when you think of the cost of all these things nowadays, and people have so, you know, we're getting there. It's slow going, but we are getting there, and certainly we're making big strides lately. And the grants from SEI are a huge help to us, of course. But it's still not an insurmountable amount of money, but well worth saving for. And even if you can do a bite-sized chunk like insulating the attic, or even looking at where the gaps are in your masonry, like we spoke earlier on, and just get anything done, it all makes a difference.
How are we going to get people to make this move towards a more sustainable home? Do you think there needs to be more grant incentives? And how do we get people on board to bring their homes up to a BE or B2 or higher?
Yeah, I think the grants are invaluable. I mean, the grants make it a no-brainer in some cases. I think it's all down to the grants. I mean, some of the electric car grants have been removed, which I think it's a real pity. You know, you don't have enough charging stations, and there's queue for charging stations. So we have huge obligations to meet. So it's really important that, like, the grants for me are where it's at. I think, you know, money talks, you know.
And as these grants have been expanded and changed and evolved over the years, have you seen a bigger uptake in people carrying out home energy upgrades?
Yeah, I mean, the grants have come at the right time. And I say, like, the market is there now because energy bills spiked. And even though a lot of that has come down, the momentum is there now, and it's becoming the thing to do. You know, from 2010 onwards, the thing to do was to have the open plan kitchen, dining, living, the glass box and all that sort of things. That's kind of run its course. There's still people doing it, but I mean, there was huge uptake in that, you know, between 2010 and 2020, shall we say. But since then, like since COVID, it has all been deep retrofit. So we're in that the golden age of the deep retrofits at the moment, you know. Mm-hmm.
And Kieran, going back to you at home, your house is A1, almost off grid because you've got your solar PV. But how else do you live, and does your family live sustainably at home?
Yeah, so obviously we do all the recycling. I drive an electric car. My own hobbies, I do a bit of sailing, I do a bit of surfing. None of them require any energy. And a bit of sea swimming and that kind of thing. So, we've composting, we kind of grow vegetables and that kind of thing, and a lot of gardening and that kind of thing. So were fairly eco-friendly in that respect. And look, the electric car makes a huge difference. I do a fair bit of driving in my job, either in my day-to-day building or traveling up and down the country, doing TV work and stuff. There's a lot of driving. And because I live in West Cork and I'm an hour away from the city, there's a lot of daily driving. But the fact that it's all with an electric car makes a huge difference. It's cheaper and, you know, there's no fossil fuels and no fumes. So,
and you're basically charging it for free with your solar panels.
On a good day.
Fantastic. Kieran, thank you so much for joining us on Housewarming.
Delighted.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let's go now to Deirdre, whose renovation involved lots of the advice we've heard from Kieran. We headed over to the south side to Cabin Teely.
Tell us who you are and tell us where you are.
Okay, so my name is Deirdre de Burka and I'm sitting in my house at the moment in Cabin Teely, Dublin 18. So that's the south of Dublin. So it's a residential estate and I'm in my lovely, warm, pretty newly renovated home.
Okay, brilliant. And this house was built in the 80s, I believe you said?
That's right. So the estate was built in the late 70s, early 80s. This house was built in 1982. So it's now 45 years old.
Okay. And it was your mum originally who moved in here?
Exactly. My mum moved into the house in 1990 and she lived here until about, you know, almost the early 2020. And then I've been living here since. So I've been here for a full 5 years.
Okay,
and on
great.
And off before that.
Yeah, and I know you mentioned before the energy upgrade was carried out that the house was freezing. So tell us on a cold winter's day what it was like to be here.
Well, where I'm sitting now on the sofa is right opposite the door. And when I was sitting watching TV at night, I would feel a cold draft which came in under my front door, under the living room door and, you know, straight at me. So I was watching television, but I was always cold. So I specialised in buying all kinds of rugs to wrap myself up in and warm onesies and so on, because it wasn't warm or comfortable to sit in my living room at night watching TV.
Okay. And beforehand, I know it was a temporary home. Did it ever feel like home, or is now, since the energy upgrades were carried out, does it feel like your home now?
I guess when I stayed here for a while when my mum wasn't well, and I used to come home at weekends and I'd stay in the house. And the house was old at that stage, you know, it wasn't very, it wasn't insulated at all. So there was a combination of sort of single glaze and double glaze in the house, a lot of drafts. And even though it was my mum's house and I did feel an attachment to it because it was hers, it wasn't comfortable or warm. It certainly wasn't somewhere I'd ever invite anybody back or anything like that, because it just, yeah, it didn't feel like a warm, comfortable place to be or to spend time.
So did you always imagine yourself living here? And when did you decide that you wanted to invest and make the house a home for you?
Well, after I had been staying here for a couple of years, it became obvious to me that either the house had to change or I'd have to go, because I was very cold. I think, you know, we had a couple of successive winters that were very cold. There's been a lot of cold weather in recent years. And it was just really uncomfortable in the house. And I used to dread going to bed at night, because when I went upstairs to the bedroom, it was even colder upstairs. So I really had to make a decision. Either I would possibly downsize, sell the house, move somewhere else, or upgrade the house. And so I decided, I'd listened to a lot of the advertising for energy upgrades. There was a lot of promotion of it on radio in the previous years. And I liked the sound of the sort of the approach where a particular company such as SSE Airtricity would take over and sort of project manage. That sounded incredibly attractive to me, because the last thing I wanted, based on my experience of having workmen come to the house, is to have to overall manage or monitor workmen coming into the house to do something, you know, as big as retrofitting my home. I knew that what I'd have to get done wouldn't just be one small piece of work, because the whole house needed, the drafts were so bad, you know, the loss of heat. I used to put the heat on in the evening. I'd be watching TV and there'd be great heat in the room when I was going to bed at night. And then when I wake up in the morning and come downstairs, the place was freezing. So all the energy that I was generating was escaping. And my background was in sustainability. And I knew that it just wasn't sustainable to keep living in a house that was wasting so much energy and that wasn't comfortable for me to live in either.
OK, so you could probably see your breath in the morning. You're up in bed. You've got two blankets on, a hot water bottle. What was the decision? What made you want to stay? Was there a moment or a feeling that you said, no, I'm going to stay here. This is going to be my house and I'm going to invest. What made you come to that decision?
Well, I suppose financially, I realised I was in a position to do something. Now, it was a big decision to commit the amount of money that I would have to get the house fully retrofitted. But I was thinking long term, and I suppose I haven't done that much up to now, but I'm at the stage of my life where I had to think about, well, do I want to continue living in a house that is not warm and comfortable and where I'm sitting wrapped in blankets, you know, watching TV at night so that I can feel comfortable? So I made a decision then. I think I looked at my bank balance and I decided this will be a long term investment, but it will be well worth it if it works out. So it honestly, it took me a little time to come to that point. But once I did, then I knew I was ready to take action.
OK, and where did you start? I mean, it's quite overwhelming. Obviously, you mentioned that you worked in sustainability, but you're not an expert. You're not a contractor. So where do you start? It's quite overwhelming, I imagine, that decision.
It really was overwhelming. But I suppose I had been very influenced by the radio advertisements I had heard for energy upgrades. And I was very familiar with SEAI and its work. So I went online, I looked at SEAI's website and I saw there was a list of, you know, key providers who were recommended, particularly if somebody was interested in getting overall, you know, a big piece of work done, this one-stop shop idea. So I was very interested in looking into who those companies were and what they had to offer. So I reached out and contacted a few of them. But I must say SSE Airtricity was the one that came back to me most quickly. They sent somebody out to speak to me. He was very persuasive, I have to say. He was a real charmer and he came into the house and he told me what changes I could expect if I got this work done, how long it would take and so on. And, you know, also gave me some links to look at and so on. So I would say the whole process didn't take more than a couple of weeks for me to decide, yes, I think I'll go with this company. They sound, I mean, SSE Airtricity has a good reputation. I checked it out. I spoke to a few people I know who'd be aware of the, you know, be quite familiar with the retrofitting business. And it seemed that, yeah, they were a safe and reliable company to go with.
OK, so they came out and assessed the home and said, OK, you need insulation, you need this and that. Was it a bigger job than you initially thought, or what did you expect needed to be done?
Well, I wasn't so clear on what my energy rating was. So I suppose the first thing I had done was a sort of a heat assessment, which was very useful, kind of looking at, you know, the extent to which my house retained heat or didn't and where the weaknesses were. And I was told I had an energy rating of E2, which explained why some of my other family members called this house Siberia. But I realised then that to bring it up to a level where, and I was also thinking about the value of the house and I was thinking about potential resale of the house in the future, and that it was in my interest not just to move up one level, but to try and get the highest possible rating that I could. So I decided that I would, and on the basis of the recommendations that were made as a result of the heat assessment, I decided I was going to go for the full works, which I was told was a replacement, a complete replacement of all my doors and windows with triple glazed doors and windows. I was also told that the external insulation, even though it was seen as a little bit more expensive maybe than other forms of, you know, internal insulation, that would actually be, you know, provide greater, higher levels of insulation for me and really transform my experience in the house. And the third thing I was advised to do was to get an air to heat pump. The air to heat pump, I was told, was the last step, so that I couldn't get that done until I had the windows and doors done and the external insulation. So I had to think about, was I willing to go all the way with those? But I decided I would. And that's exactly what I had done. Three big pieces of work that completely changed my house in terms of how it feels, but also how it looks.
Okay. And while all of that was being carried out, what was your living situation? Did you have to move out? And how long did all of the upgrade works take?
It took a couple of months. In fact, I would say the best part of a year, really, from very start when I had the first person come out and visit me from SSA Electricity to tell me about the home energy upgrade, to the point where all of the work was done and I could comfortably start decorating the house internally. But I lived in the house for most of that time. It was very uncomfortable at times. I had workmen coming and going. At one stage, when the external insulation was being done, I had scaffolding up around the house, which didn't look great. And certainly coming home from work and having to, you know, kind of walk through some of the stuff that was left lying around, it wasn't easy. But, you know, I knew at the end that the house would be changed for the better. And as it turned out, I was absolutely happy. So I think the workmen involved did the work as well as they could. I had no real complaints about them, and I could always go back to SSA Electricity if I had any concerns or any queries, and they did sort out any practical issues that kind of arose.
Was there a moment after all the work had been done and you sat down to have a cup of tea or to watch telly and you were like, oh my God, I can't believe this is my house?
Honestly, it keeps happening to me because I still am aware of how bad things were. And so I'm struck again and again when I come in, and I suppose particularly when it's cold outside or wet or uncomfortable, and I come into this house that's just, you know, as snug as you could hope for. It really is. It's warm. It's comfortable. I often am in a t-shirt in the house, and, you know, that regardless of what season it is outside. So honestly, I think I'll keep, you know, appreciating the change in the house. I think I'll never stop feeling amazed that a process like retrofitting can completely change. And I think, you know, just knowing lots of friends and people who are living elsewhere, you know, I know a lot of the housing stock in Ireland is very poorly insulated, and that a lot of people just get used to living in substandard accommodation from the point of view of real warmth and comfort. And it shouldn't be like that, or that, you know, we should have to have our heating on all the time and very high heating bills coming in. You know, there's something about the retrofitting that just makes so much sense. To me, it's a win-win because, you know, not just is it comfortable, but I find that my bills are not as high now as they were. When I was paying for two oil fills a year, I had an oil burner, I was paying out more than I am now with the level of heat and comfort that I have. So I think both from a financial point of view, and particularly when you're looking at the long term, but also in the shorter term, it just is a no-brainer, really.
So you've financial incentives, you're saving money while also being in a much warm and cozier home. And what is the BER now?
So the BER now, amazingly, is A3.
Wow.
So I have jumped several levels, and I think that's largely because of getting the whole suite of works done that it brought it up to that level. But it means if I try and sell my home, the value of my home has also increased. If I'm a very savvy purchaser of a new home, I look at the energy rating, I think most people do, and I realise this is about as good as it gets. A3 is pretty high. And
so they might just have to paint or get new furniture. They
exactly.
don't have to do anything internal. And obviously the house is warmer and comfier. We've mentioned that before. And you said that your background is in sustainability. You're very interested in, you know, obviously the environment. So your home is, you know, there's less emissions coming from your home. Your home is going to add towards our climate goals. And was that important to you when starting out on this journey?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I think, you know, we all hear about climate change, and I know we all have at the back of our minds, oh, I wish I could do something more about climate change, or I should be doing more about climate change. So again, it gives me a good feeling that I know that my house is, I'm running my house in a way that's certainly not impacting negatively on, you know, climate, on the climate. But also, since I got the house retrofitted, I also invested in a new car. It's an electric car and it is plugged into a charger at the side of the house. So in total, my house has been transformed, I think, into a very energy efficient hub. And I'm told in the future, if I decide to get solar panels, I can generate my own electricity, which I can use either for the car or I can also sell back to the grid. So it's a different way of looking at my home. I'm thinking of my home now, instead of just as bricks and mortar, I'm thinking of it as kind of a highly intelligent, self-regulating energy system as well, that can save me money, but that also, and something you didn't mention, that looks well. So the last thing I expected when I got my home retrofitted was that it was going to improve the appearance of the house. But actually, you know, it has, that the external insulation, this house was a late 70s, early 80s house, so it had pebble dash on it. And that's very, you know, it dates the house. Pebble dash often gets very stained and kind of worn looking. And so when the external insulation happened, it was like getting a new facade, a complete facelift for the house. So the house now looks modern, new, clean, and it looks like a different house. I think it stands out from all the other houses on the road.
It looks brand new. The paint is so fresh. It looks like, and obviously you've got new windows, and it looks like walking up to a brand new house.
Yeah, that's
a new build.
That's essentially what I feel. I feel like I sort of, once I got the retrofitting done, the old house doesn't exist anymore and I have what's the equivalent of a new house. It looks good. It's, you know, there's nothing I can fault. There isn't a draft anywhere in the house. And yeah, I mean, I'm a complete convert.
How do you use this house? I know you work from home a lot, so it's your office. You have your lunch here. I mean, this is your world. So tell us how you live here and tell us who lives here with you.
Okay, well, in the house at the moment, there's myself. And as you say, I live and work in the house, so I spend a lot of time in the house. But there's also my dog, Brody. So Brody is a little Maltesian and he loves the house too. When he stays away from home with his mind, he's always thrilled to get back to the house. And why wouldn't he be? It's lovely and warm and comfortable and just, it's his space. And then getting the house retrofitted allowed me to rent out. I certainly couldn't have done it before then, because I'd say any tenant that I was looking for in the room to rent scheme, you know, this is the scheme that the government has introduced where you can rent a room out in your home and you can earn up to €14,000 for doing that without any tax implications. Mm-hmm. So you don't pay any tax. And that is to try and deal with the housing shortage at the moment and to accommodate students mostly who are coming to study in Ireland. So I've had a lovely Indian girl called Deepta living with me for the last year. And again, she has commented, she comes from India, but she found the Irish winter quite chilly. You know, it's a lot colder than what she's accustomed to. But again, you know, she's found the house very comfortable. And I'm now taking in a new student again in September, and he's from China. So we have, you know, a slightly multicultural thing going on in the house. But again, I think I wouldn't have been able to rent out the house if it had been the way it was before it was retrofitted. But now, because it looks modern and clean and it's warm, I think I certainly to date have found no difficulty in finding tenants.
Brilliant. Deirdre, you seem so happy with your house. It's amazing to see.
Am.
So is this your dream home? Is this your forever home?
Well, never say never. I have no idea. But I think for now, I you know, I'd find it very hard to live anywhere that wasn't insulated to the level that this house is, because, you know, it's such a pleasure to come home and it's such a pleasure to be in a house that's as warm and toasty as this, that I think I really would feel it if I was in a house where there were drafts or that I was cold occasionally or whatever. I have become used to this sort of quality of my living environment, and I wouldn't want to change it even just for that reason.
So you'll be doing a big one-stop shopping in your next home and your next project?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think, you know, once is enough probably, but certainly if I were selling this house, I know I'd get at least a return on the time that went into it, because I think it has definitely increased the value of my house. And, you know, that'll also be very welcome if I did at any stage decide to sell the house, that I'm going to benefit financially as well, I think, from what I've done, the work I've had done to the house.
Brilliant.
That's it for this week's episode. We'll be back next week with a new episode where we're checking back in with James Kavanagh to find out more about his home renovation and chatting to homeowner Hilda O'Shea in her 300-year-old home in Sligo. If you'd like to find out more about any of the grants or schemes mentioned in this episode, you can head over to the SEAI website, and there's also links in the show notes. Finally, we also have a special bonus episode on the feed all about green loans and finance, so check that out if you're getting down to the serious stuff.